toward the end of the 60s, is that when the rumors about you being dead surfaced? Do you remember that? Do you remember,
yeah.
Remember how that started? What were your feelings about that?
Yeah, no, what happened was we did a cover for a record called Abbey Road. The idea was to walk across the crossing, and I showed up that day with sandals, flip-flops, and so it was so hot, and I kicked them off and walked across barefooted. So this started some rumor that because he was barefooted, he's dead. But it was a little bit strange because people did start looking at me like, is it him or a very good double?
Well, that was the idea. That was the other part of it, that there was a guy who looked like you taking your place.
No, well, this is him.
Or is it?
Hello, Tom. What's going down?
I was going to rant with you about McCartney being dead. What is this all about?
You heard that McCartney was dead.
Yeah, that's right.
In October 1969, a disc jockey in Detroit received a call from a listener explaining that if some Beatles songs were listened to closely, clues would be heard.
Number nine, number nine, number nine, number nine.
Hey, Mr. Revolution number nine, backwards. Yeah. And did you hear about that?
No.
And I said, what are you talking about, playing a record backwards? He said, no, try it.
Honey on the man, honey on the man, honey on the man.
Even though there were past attempts to spread the rumor, this time it really took off.
It's 22 before the hour of 1 o'clock WABC chime time. The fact that there is something very strange about the Beatle Paul, the fact that the Beatle Paul may be dead.
If McCartney was killed 3 years ago in an auto accident and a double put in his place.
That a rumor had circulated through London that Beatle Paul McCartney had been killed in a car crash on the N1 motorway.
There arose a rumor that Paul was really not Paul, but an imposter.
The theory on Paul's death says he was out alone in his Aston Martin. He crashed and was decapitated. A Paul McCartney lookalike has been impersonating him ever since. The fans say they can prove it in the songs, in the jackets to the record albums, and in other places. Clues by the dozen are lurking.
Three of the Beatles wear a red rose, while McCartney wears a black rose.
Paul is the only one standing with his back to the camera.
Inside the cover, McCartney's lookalike is wearing an armband with the letters OPD, which in England means officially pronounced dead.
The McCartney situation is real. They replaced him with somebody special and did some plastic surgery. Calipers on the bridge of the nose will show that there were not one but two. Did the measurements and everything, my lord, there are two. Then we got Dr. Henry Truby.
Somebody else was singing at a time when the fans and when the label would indicate that it was Paul McCartney.
Are you really telling us that the original Paul McCartney was not the later Paul McCartney, that there really was a double?
It really is more like it.
Come on!
It's the best Paul McCartney we've had. Refined, cleaned, groomed, and had more talent than the first one.
It had been 4 years of instant success. The Beatles had become gods.
You know, nobody heard anything, or not even, you know, a basic beat, I don't think. So they were too busy tearing each other up.
I have prepared a statement, which I will read, which has had John Lennon's absolute approval this afternoon with myself by telephone. And this is as follows. The quote which John Lennon made to a London columnist more than 3 months ago has been quoted and represented entirely out of context.
When John said the Beatles meant more to kids than Jesus, A Beatles boycott in the southern states began as the Beatles toured the U.S. for the last time in August 1966. They burned their records and spit on their images. But before they burned the records, they had to buy them.
We meant more to kids than Jesus did. I was just saying it as a fact. I was using expressions on things that I'd just read.
The Passover plot speculates that the Bible is a hoax and that Jesus didn't die on the cross. Jesus survived, and in order to create a new religion with himself as the Messiah, he made people believe that he'd risen from the dead.
He said to me once that the children of 2000 will be listening to the Beatles.
By 2012, the masses will be where we are today, and Paul should be Jesus by then. From Jesus to
Paul. On August the 29th, 1966, the Beatles took the stage for the final date of their third sellout tour of America. But this would be the last ever Beatles concert.
We were just tired, you know. It had been 4 years legging around, screaming in this mania, you know, that we weren't going to tour again.
We said, well, what are we going to do? Like, announce it? The Beatles are giving up tour. We said, no, just don't say anything.
But I was really too scared to walk away. I was thinking, well, this is like the end, really. You know, there's no more touring. And I was dead nervous, so I said yes to Dick Lester that I would make this movie with him. I went to Almeria, Spain for 6 weeks.
Ringo came to Spain when John and I were down there. George, like you said, was doing the Indian stuff. I'm almost pulled at him. I don't know what he was doing.
Tuesday, September 13th, 1966. The Melody Makers Awards would be the last time a camera caught a glimpse of Paul McCartney for the next 3 months. Because of Paul's absence, rumors suggested he left the band and the Beatles were breaking up. Beatles manager Brian Epstein had to make a statement on October 3rd denying that Paul had left the band, but confirming they would never perform live in concert ever again.
The Beatles have kept pretty much to themselves in the last 7 or 8 months. There have been thousands of rumors about their breakup. They'd say they're not going to tour anymore. They're not going to travel around.
Hey, can I have a word? Are the Beatles going to go their own ways in 1967?
They could be, you know, on our own as together. We're always involved in each other, whatever we're doing.
Do you foresee a time when, in fact, the Beatles won't be together and that you'll all be on your own?
No.
Do you get have you got tired of each other?
No.
When we got into the Sgt. Pepper sessions, I mean, they were obviously different people to one. It was just weird and a lot of sadness around, and it wasn't sort of spoken of a lot, and I think a lot of stuff was getting bottled up, and it was Paul that sort of, you know, pushed them all the time, you know.
And
the strawberry fields, I'm saying cranberry sauce. Cranberry sauce, not I very poor. And the rumour was started, obviously, by some madman.
What he was referring to was the fact that on that particular take, his guitar buried Paul's sound. And that's what he was saying.
What about I buried Paul? Is it there?
It sounds like it is to me, yes. It sounds like John is saying I buried Paul.
We set out strolling with you forever. We were convinced a few lads of discovery. Perhaps a message.
It looks like a funeral.
For the cover, we came up with a list of our heroes, the ones we really liked.
On the grave is a left-handed vase in flowers. The old Beatles stand somberly in grief, and like a resurrection, the new Beatles. A hand, like a halo, appears over Paul's head. And just behind the hand is the writer Stephen Crane, who wrote the tale The Open Boat, which is about four men who went out on a mission, but only three survived. There's a white car again on the doll's lap. And on the other side is a blood-stained glove from someone who appears dark and dead. On the inside cover, Paul is wearing a label on his left shoulder. It appears that it reads OPD, which in England means officially pronounced dead.
One of the clues in the Life magazine article of November 1969 is when they got a hold of Paul McCartney and said, "Tell us about the death of you." I mean, it was kind of a funny article. And he said, "Oh, I understand one of the clues is the OPD patch that says OPD on it, which in England stands for officially pronounced dead." He says, "Well, that stands for Ontario Police Department. And a fan from Canada sent me that."
The interesting fact here is that the patch does not display OPD, but does display OPP, which is for the Ontario Provincial Police. However, due to the chosen angle of the photograph, the patch does appear to display the letters OPD. Some professional graphic artists have insisted that there may have even been some visual manipulation of the image prior to its publication.
On the back of the album, Paul is the only one standing with his back to the camera. George is pointing at a line from She's Leaving Home.
"Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock as the day begins."
According to the rumor, the day and time Paul was officially pronounced dead.
If you were to ask anyone who is the voice of the Beatles, the name would be Derek Taylor.
Hello?
Hello? Yes?
Yes, Derek Taylor.
Yes, sure.
Why the preoccupation with exotic symbolisms of death?
These are not things that we are aware of.
What about the Paul spelled out on the Sgt. Pepper's album, the guitar in flowers?
That's the pattern of that kind of guitar there?
Yes.
On the grave?
Yes, it is a grave.
Because we are clearly dead in that we cannot see the symbolism.
According to the credits, the bass drum was designed by Joe F. Grave. It's just impossible to find any trace of him. He simply does not exist. Epgrave may be a hybrid of epitaph and grave.
The drum skin does, in fact, bear a stunning resemblance to the epitaph of Lewis Carroll, inscribed on his memorial plaque inside Westminster Abbey. Both have the artist's nom de plume on the outside of the circle, but the inside contains the true epitaph. However, to read the epitaph...
The cryptic word games are the immediate extension of Lewis Carroll's famous poem, Jabberwocky, which shows that in word are very different meanings if one knows how to decode them.
The secret code of Jabberwocky.
Lonely becomes 111X. Hearts becomes he, die.
Read the record mirror, let it be.
111X, he, die. Or stated differently, 11, Roman numeral 9, he, die. According to the rumor, he died November 9. Who died? Follow the arrow.
Paul
died. Aleister Crowley, the man who called himself the Beast 666, writer, philosopher, founder of Thelema, cult leader, Freemason, and magician, wrote the book Magic, in which he describes how to communicate on a subliminal level by speaking backwards in order to gain power over others.
Let him learn to write backwards with either hand. Let him learn to walk backwards. Let him constantly watch, if convenient, cinemagraph films and listen to phonograph records reversed.
Two photographs of Crowley were planned for the Sgt. Pepper cover. But since one of the photos of a younger Crowley resembled Paul, Crowley appeared on the cover only once. Or did he? Aleister Crowley died in 1947, 20 years before Paul sang,
"It was 20 years ago today."
Was Aleister Crowley the real Sgt. Pepper? The inside cardboard contained Sgt. Pepper, the Beatles, military stripes, and a fake mustache.
I decided to write a secret little message at the end of the record. So we went to the studio and did a remote groove. It lasted for 1 second, but it took the whole evening to get it right. Turn it around, the other way around, you know. We'll all be magic supermen. That was it.
When the Liverpool people came here to London, they brought with them the freedom that the money they've made. A centre is what is needed. That's what the bookshop here, Indica, was designed. But the bookshop wasn't enough. A newspaper seemed to be the only way to get them all to meet.
One of the staff members and a co-founder held a competition in the first issue of the newspaper. His name was Ion Iacomo, apparently a Polish filmmaker. The same Ion Iacomo who ran this ad in the next issue. The same Ion Iacomo who contributed to the Church of the Final Judgment and their magazine, The Process. the same Ian Iacomo who engaged his friend Yoko Ono to perform an exhibition at his own Indica Gallery.
She was having a show at this gallery. So anyway, I finally got to this show, and she had all these things on, like all these like hammer nail things, and that clock there, you listen to it through a stethoscope, all the things. There was this ladder and a thing on the ceiling. So I climbed the ladder, and on the ceiling it said, yes. But it said yes, and that was enough, you know. And then she came up and said she didn't know who I was.
She didn't care for either of them.
She didn't know about us. No, the only name she knew was Ringo, because it means apple in Japanese.
Yoko came around to my house.
She knew who the Beatles were.
She had met him.
She met you.
Yeah.
She knew of the Beatles.
She didn't really know about us.
I don't know. You
but
know,
of course, I mean, if she knocked on your door, she knew you were a Beatle.
The same Ian Iacomo that wrote Paperback Writer. The same Ian Iacomo, whose name backwards sounds like, listen, Ian Iacomo, Ian Iacomo, Paul McCartney, Paul McCartney.
So Miles anyway turned me on to a lot of that international times, Evergreen, all those little things, lots of very far out, and we used to do a lot of that.
This means that someone like Paul McCartney is on the scene, and have supported it in both direct and indirect ways, and will probably say we have the same concept of freedom as he does. I've all found a certain similarity in their aims, more intimate and direct.
So way before John met Yoko and got avant-garde, I was like the avant-garde London bachelor with Miles, my pad in St. John's Wood. I was making like 8 movies and we were showing them to Antonio only. I was into quite sort of heavy avant-garde trip. I'd sit with Burroughs.
I bear no sick words, junk words, love words, but give words from Jesus. Jesus.
And I remember sitting around with Burroughs and doing little tapes and back with crazy stuff.
Spill out your sons forever.
There's a fog upon L.A. And my friends have lost the way. We'll be over soon, they said. Now they've lost themselves instead.
The whole thing was Crowley saying, do what thou wilt, you know, with all Sons of the Magician.
The 24-page full-color picture book. Put a mirror across the tour on the front, and it says, look. Look in the book.
Far above the clouds, in a land that no one knows, live 4 or 5 magicians who spend their days casting wonderful spells.
Paul wears a black carnation.
I had a black carnation because they'd run out of red ones. And I said, all right, I'll have a black one, I'll have whatever you've got.
Paul's blood-stained shoes. The bass drum contains a message too. Love the three Beatles. Hands above Paul's head as a blessing over the dead man. Ringo, the fun one. George, the quiet one. John, the smart one. Paul, the cute one.
Someone's gonna win.
Turning it 90 degrees makes it a skull. Same with the back cover. Rest in peace. R.I.P. Paul above a sign with the text, I was, maybe alluding to the being I was who allegedly dictated the book of the law to Crowley.
Is Paul in the walrus mask?
Was it Paul as the walrus? No, it's John. Who wrote us? It's John.
When we did Magical Mystery Tour, I actually put on the walrus mask, the one on that wall all swaying. Happened to be me with the walrus thing up there.
Just because I said I am the walrus, it must mean I'm God or something. I always had this image of the walrus that calmed. It was all, you know, I loved it.
Well, here's another clue for you all. The walrus was Paul.
I am the walrus. It's one of those that has enough little biddies going to keep you interested, even 100 years later.
I am he as you are, he as you are me, and we are all together.
Let him practice speaking backwards. Thus, for I am he, let him say he am thou.
I am he and he am I.
Is he dead?
Sit you down, Father. Rest you.
I don't try and analyze too much. I think it's dangerous. It's like believing your own myth, you know?
Meme is walrus.
No, I just think it's basically magic. There is such a thing as magic. And the Beatles was magic. Life is an energy field. And, you know, it's a bunch of molecules, you know? These particular molecules formed to make these four guys, but then formed into this band called the Beatles. Did all that work. And, you know, I have to think there's what we humans call magic. Something metaphysical, something very alchemic, something very magical happened. The songs were very well structured. I think there just is also a physical strength to them. I think that it's well done. But I do think the main thing is it is something that must be, you know, thought it was magic with a K. Magic with the K. Magic with the K. Am I being too far out or what?
It's a mystery to me. See ya.
Let me take you down. We guess you better. Cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields. Nothing is real, you're singing fun.
Paul McCartney and actress Jane Asher began dating in 1963. The pair got engaged in December 1967.
I
I was at the engagement party for Jane Asher and Paul McCartney. So here's the party, all right, and the rock and rollers are there, and yet the Paul McCartney, looking a little bit different under the eyes, he looks a little gaunt, and I'm there, and I'm looking, and I'm saying, why aren't they together? He's over there with this girl with a camera. Oh, well, that's Linda Eastman. She was on the tour with him. That's his girlfriend. What do you mean, girlfriend? He's supposed to be engaged to Jane. No, that's not the same McCartney. It's not the same guy. But this is not the same McCartney.
If Sergeant Pepper were the funeral, then the white album would be the coffin, and the lyrics sheet, the hymnal.
Was Paul, and we had a great giggle. You know, say, yeah, let's do that. Let's put this line in, because everyone is going to read into it. It's going to go crackers.
Dad, this is amazing. If you play this backwards, it says Paul is dead.
Yeah, I know.
The accompanying poster is a collage of photos. One photo in particular, according to the rumor, grabs the attention. It's supposed to be the imposter before the makeover. The imposter. The white car again.
A song Revolution.
Yeah.
You wanted to change a few of the words from Count Me In to Count Me Out, or Count Me Out
no,
to Count
No, I
in.
Have both versions. There's a Revolution, there's three versions. Number one, but number two, and number nine. Number nine's an abstract picture of Revolution.
When you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out?
Charles Manson managed to position himself as a guru. He had quite a lot of followers, mostly young American girls. The jury in his murder trial found he had brainwashed four people to launch an attack inside Doris Day's house and brutally murder everyone inside. The house was rented by Roman Polanski and his wife, Sharon Tate. Sharon and four friends in the house that evening were killed. The jury held that Manson was responsible for the murders, even though he didn't personally participate in them. Manson blamed the Beatles.
Charlie got all his beliefs from two places. The Bible and the Beatles.
But
White House.
I can't believe the Beatles are talking directly to him.
Revolution number 9. In the Bible, man. In the Bible. Check it out. Check it out. Revelation number 9. See, the part about the four angels. Their faces were as the faces of men. They had hair as the hair of women. The Beatles, man. Helter Skelter. Get ready. Look out! Helter Skelter!
Jerry Rubin, A.B. Hoffman didn't do a day, but they were the ones that were saying, raise up and kill your mom and dad, kill your mom and dad. Same with A.B. Hoffman, same with all the guys. They didn't do it. Elvis Cleaver, Huey Newton, they didn't do no time in jail. I got stuff.
Can't you understand I'm not guilty of anything?
Then someone listens to it and says, ah, ha, 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 this is a signal. And you have no control over that.
He'd read a lot of biblical stuff into us.
Is the Beatles responsible?
I don't remember it all, I must say. Particularly some of those dark nights in L.A. You know, you just would sometimes fall out of a car into a room. It would be very dark. I'm not sure if I remember it.
Then later, I can't remember, you know, we were all just a bit down, you know. One of those houses, like, you know, Doris Day's house or whatever it was.
Doris Day's son. Barry Melcher.
Record producer Terry Melcher and Paul McCartney had worked together and knew each other very well.
It's a big record producer. Him and Dennis Wilson are going to make Charlie a star.
Terry Melcher came to me. I didn't come to Terry Melcher.
Terry told friends he introduced Paul to Manson on June 22nd, 1968 at the home of Mamas and Papas John Phillips, and that the two talked all evening.
Maybe this explains why some of the lyrics on You Never Give Me Your Money were written on a door at Spahn Ranch where Manson and his family were staying. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, almost a year before Abbey Road was released.
I'm a real person inside. I'm not a phony.
Bitch.
Number nine.
situation.
My wings are broken and so is my head. Tell what he was saying. His voice was low and his eye was high.
And I told him he had better get somewhere like Lindsay because his lungs are going for a bed. So the wife told him he'd better go to see a Sid.
On Revolution number 9, there's an accident. They talk about an accident on the B track. They talk about hitting a light pole and going to a surgeon. Are you familiar with that one?
Yes, I am, but it has no meaning, it has no relevance.
Take this, brother. May it serve you well.
Maybe even then, if you become naked.
And I put it on, and it said very clearly, number 9. And when I played it backwards, and spun it backwards, it said, turn me on, dead man. Turn me on, dead man. Whew. I freaked.
Turn me on, dead man. 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 Turn me on, dead man.
Hey, Jude.
Film Yellow Submarine, this gravestone appears. Number 49. 4-9. Paul. 4 letters. McCartney. 9 letters. Here lie buried. Number 49. Paul McCartney. Fred gets into a spooky building to catch up with the Beatles.
Just park it here.
wonder what would happen if I pulled this lever.
You must...
Sit a day,
then George will be here.
George, what are you doing up there?
It's all in the mind.
We've got to find Paul, haven't we?
Well, lads, what do you think? Right then, let's get this missile shipshape.
A couple of seconds later, there were obviously five Beatles. Two of Paul and the three others. Two, three, resembling the number 23 on the front cover. If this were a funeral procession, John would be the Holy One. Ringo, the Undertaker. Paul, barefoot and out of step, the dead man. And George, the gravedigger. And there in the background is a white car, a Beetle.
Like more wizards.
On the back are eight dots to the left of the Beatles. If you draw a line straight through all the dots, it reads 3 Beatles. Hidden in the girl's elbow is the profile of a young Paul McCartney.
At the album, it looks like the four Beatles or whoever walking it off fully dressed. Paul's idea of being different is to look almost straight but just have his ear painted blue. That's his little gimmick, that's all.
Carl just did his thing and took his shoes off and left him lying on the sidewalk. And picked him up when the photographic session was over.
Those things, you know, it's like me going across that crossing on Abbey Road with no shoes on. It was a hot day.
Did you fit him with the suit he was wearing on the cover of Abbey Road? He came in here without shoes on, so when he fitted the suit.
Honest, that's all it was. But some DJs got hold of it and whipped it up.
And a rumor had circulated through London that Beatle Paul McCartney had been killed in a car crash on the M1 motorway.
Well, basically, not quite.
Be an attempt to assassinate you. The spirit that gave me this information was Brian Epstein. He said the attempt would be made in place of March 6th, 17th, and Mr. Epstein also said that Paul McCartney was alive in London. Is that true? Please take this letter serious, because I would very much prefer you to be alive and dead. Well, it's funny you never said that to me in Athens.
Last year, we had a big thing about Paul McCartney being dead.
Yeah.
And I was wondering how much of it was planned and how much was planned by you.
It had nothing to do with me. There is a rumor that he is dead, actually, but the first I heard about it was in the press, you know. I don't know how it happened. It's a mystery to Paul. It was a mystery to me. None of us knew what it was about or whatever. But of course they credited to me or Paul saying, you know, that it was publicity seeking and we did it.
Following the rumor spread in October 1969, special magazines were printed and memorial records appeared on the radio.
At the end of Strawberry Field, John says I buried Paul.
Brother Paul, I'm crying. Are you really lying?
Son of Paul.
St. Paul, performed by Detroit singer Terry Knight, was the most famous Paul is Dead song. In May 1969, 5 months before the rumor started spreading, the song was released in Detroit already. The record label states that the song was published by Macklin Music. That's John Lennon and Paul McCartney's publishing firm. St. Paul would turn out to be the only non-Beatles song ever published in their catalog. Same month, New Zealand singer Shane Haynes performed the same song, and it became a huge hit. When Shane's cover of St. Paul reached number one in New Zealand in August 1969, Paul McCartney sent his best wishes via telegram.
It was too far out for us to have thought of it, you know. And it wasn't a very, I don't know, it was a peculiar thing. I don't know what it was about.
Once again, Derek Taylor from October 1969.
Paul McCartney isn't dead, and the only proof we have that he's alive at this point is that he is. You don't have to do any more than that to prove you're alive, except be alive. You don't have to produce yourself, you don't have to appear on television or speak, or even make a statement. You just have to be alive to make the point, if only to yourself. If people don't wish to be convinced, no amount of denial from Apple will make any difference.
So in late October 1969, BBC Radio 4, the news channel, dispatched reporter Chris Drake up to the Mullough Kintyre in Scotland to Paul McCartney's farm.
Paul, his wife Linda and their two children live in a little broken-down old farmhouse which even a poor farm labourer would think twice about accepting. He lives contentedly in isolation, walking in the day and watching television at night. He does have a telephone, but is nearly always left off the hook.
Well, closing
I don't try closing it, or you might get some trouble.
Rolling Stone magazine declared Paul is not dead on the cover, and Life magazine had a photo of Paul and his family assuring distraught fans that Paul is still with us.
In April 1970, Paul released his first solo album. They say life is a bowl of cherries, and the album cover shows a spilled bowl of cherries. The documentary film and album Let It Be were released. On the album cover, all the Beatles' photos have white backgrounds, except Paul. Paul's background is blood red.
But though they may be parted, there is still a chance, Bill, that they will see.
Originally, the cover photos were in black and white.
It's always a secret word you whispered in somebody's ear. You see, the truth is always a secret.
Soccer to them, then we've got a very good documentary. But if
hiding.
If we're hiding, then we don't have much luck. Now, Neil is calling back now. That's an apple core.
An apple core of Barcelona.
Neil spoke to me and he said
PM was on his way.
PM was on his way.
Life
goes on.
I have the slightest doubt that we did the right thing. And that we acted in accordance with the law. He kept the book, you know, but you can't retain that book. It must be thrown away, burned, destroyed with it. And whatever happened to him was the invisible God. The world isn't ready for anything.
If this boy dies, you're going to top it.
I was talking to Neil last night about an idea that while we were rehearsing the show ourselves, we should have alongside us someone sitting near so that we're getting the same kind of buzz. And at the end, the final bulletin is the Beatles have broken up. But it's going to be such an incredible thing, like in 50 years' time, you know. They broke up because Yoko sat on an amp. You see, John kept bringing this girl and
there was very few things that happened to Beatles that weren't really well thought out by us, whether to do it or not. And, you know, what reaction, and would it last forever?
Production, and if they're fully switched on, like, turn, and they're going, all you've got to do is sort of, oh, yeah, but you used to do it, lads. You know, but we had a lot more incentive. But we did, I mean, you know, those films, you look at them, that was us doing it, you know.
Well, if that's what doing it is, that's why I don't want to do it.
Yeah,
it
was, yeah,
I
think.
Never like that.
There will be an answer. Let it be.
Superstone in Egypt, ain't enough, will ya? In ashes, take thoughts from rising. If you fit the superstone in Egypt, and the talk you ran with them, oh, wasn't it smart? Then we're Sunday at noon. Cause there are people waiting. Be dead, he'll be dead, he'll be dead, he'll be dead.
This is actually a Beatle wife fixing the tea for one of about four ex-Beatle
fans. Fab three.
See Beatle Bill making a pig of himself.
Not doing so well these days, is he, Beatle?
Well, he's number five in Sweden.
Oh, in Sweden, that's it.
So Sergeant Pepper took you by
McCartney has said it was easier being a Beatle than an ex-Beatle, and perhaps with good reason. He hasn't had a top 10 hit since the early 1980s. On top of all that, in the past few years, Paul McCartney has become the favorite target of rock critics, who claim he's a prisoner of his past, relying on Beatles tunes to draw the crowds. And some would have you believe that he hasn't written anything relevant since his partnership with John Lennon.
I kind of ignore them. I don't really think they're important. Sorry, guys. I think I've written some real good songs. I think John Lennon liked me.
Those streets was right when they said you were dead.
Bob Tom's car, you know, people don't see, you know, they can do whatever he wants in this world. They're all lined up to please him. It's not just gravity to him.
second solo album, Ram, are the initials L-I-L-Y. And almost 40 years later, in Paul's The McCartney Years release...
Let's have little hidden things for fans.
McCartney created Wings.
That's a nice image.
Wings.
Wings. Wings.
It lasted 9 years. Percy Thrillington is one of a handful of albums Paul recorded without using the McCartney name and fame.
Percy Thrillington, there's a lot more going on than you see. People don't know it goes a lot deeper. Percy Thrillington.
He really was happiest in his life with Maytag.
Will they ever team up again?
It's quite possible, yes. Would you like that to happen? If it happens, I'll enjoy it.
When we were at the beach house, we had McCartney coming by, so it was like a bunch of people during the day.
He would come over for rehearsal to our house, and it was all John and Mal Evans.
Ringo Starr also spent time at Lennon's beach pad.
The memories are now all fond, and the wounds are healed, and if we do it, we do it. If we record, we record. I don't know.
Do you still love her? Do you want to get back with her and stuff? He said, yeah. I said, well, here's how you do it, and just gave him what Yoko had said, and he pretty much did it.
Yoko invited him over to the Dakota for a hypnotist session.
All plans of collaborating with his old band were dropped.
I'm just angry that it didn't happen, because I know that John wanted to do it.
Fortunately, I met you at the right time.
Unfortunately, that's right.
But in the end, I wonder what's going to happen. Shooting is exercise.
Shooting is exercise, oh yeah.
We just got especially for the cheesed off with it, you know.
Shooting is exercise.
I think she had it all planned.
The catcher in the rye, phony mustache, the catcher in the rye.
It's kind of a phony, isn't it?
It's dark. And this limo pulls up. And John got out. And he came up the pathway. And he looked at me. And I fired at his back 5 steady shots. I thought by killing him, I would acquire his fame.
We have arrested Mark David Chapman.
A former Beatle who was 40 was hit by several bullets.
I suppose they tried to kill John.
John.
She played it innocent, but I think she had it all planned.
John.
I think she knew exactly what she was doing from day one.
The name of the imposter is rumored to be Bill, short of William. There's evidence that Paul McCartney called himself Billy Martin. But he referred to himself by lots of aliases. Apollo C. Vermouth, Bernard Webb, Clint Hammigan, Percy Thrillington, the Fireman, Iacomo. Bill seems to return, though. Why were the Beatles originally considering naming the Abbey Road album Billy's Left Boot? Why did Paul invent the name Billy Sherrs on the Sgt. Pepper album? Why did Paul design a hidden message, Bill, on the DVD release, The Space Within Us? Why was Paul introduced as William in the control room scene of his autobiographical motion picture, Give My Regards to Broad Street?
You know, William.
Paul is dead. You know, Paul, it's just humor, you know. I don't know.
The Fireman, another secret project. When the Beatles' Anthology 1 was released in November 1995, the Beatles produced a new song, Free as a Bird.
My brother, I found no one other. Ah, your best call.
Anthology 2 was ready for release in February 1996. 2.5 million copies were loaded onto trucks and were about to leave the factory heading for the stores. Paul McCartney demanded they change direction at the last minute. Instead of heading to the stores, they were returned and all of them burned. Paul paid $12 million to have them destroyed. The official explanation was that 2 songs had to change place.
Believe, 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 believe,
supposed to do what you want to do, 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 do what you want to do.
Tunnel. Looking back, retrospective.
Well, what is the most unusual legend or rumor you've heard about yourself?
Oh, I can't think actually. There's been a lot. I really can't think. Well, there will be an answer, you know. All right, thank you very much. Bye. Bah. 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 Bah.
Rachel Crowley's clock is part of the show.
Chaos and creation in the backyard.
Died in a car crash on a Batty Kong. You figure it out.
That's called an ambigram.
But we were just goofing around.
I think we all have to pay tribute. The Ringo here.
Yeah.
And George. And Paul, who can't be with us. And, of course, John. And I guess we miss those guys a hell of a lot. But they're the people who are behind this.
George Martin produced Comedy Records. Suddenly, Brian is offered this producer who's never heard, probably, bless him, didn't even know what the pop group was. I mean, he, to me, is the sixth Beatle, the sixth Beatle, the sixth Beatle.
Sir George Martin, the producer, announced that there is a secret code on love. A secret message confirming that the other secret messages are there.
George Martin. He explained some of the new techniques that he and the Beatles were exploring.
Tape and electronics have brought an enormous new feel to music. You can speed it up, you can slow it down, you can turn it round back to front. But take the sound of an ordinary cymbal, for example. Have a listen to this. Now, have you heard it backwards?
Sir George Martin's coat of arms is rather interesting. It features a zebra, perhaps referring to the zebra crossing at Abbey Road, an ancient religious symbol known as a soul catcher.
Once you start tampering with Beatle material, you're tampering with the Holy Grail.
The shield references the Beatles as stag beetles, but only three beetles. Why? He said, one and one and one is three.
Ah.
The new album is called Memory Almost Full. There's a rumour that's an anagram of You're My Soulmate, LLM, Linda Louise McCartney.
I was going to put little clues, but then hiding little sort of words. And it was going to be some sort of hidden message.
The King of Cosmania.
You see, it's all very clever.
It was too far out for us to have thought of it, you know.
Well, it might be too far out, or what?
But life's good.
Life is good, life is good, life is wonderful, and with friends like these, who needs life? Who needs life? Who needs life?
People don't want to know what the truth is, because they could never ever handle it. They would be too devastated, and that's why I've stayed quiet. And I have a box of evidence that is going to a certain person should anything happen to me. This evidence is against a certain party that behaved in a terrible way. Something so awful happened. Someone I'd loved for a long time, I found out, had betrayed me immensely. And I don't mean infidelity or anything like that, like beyond belief. People don't want to know what the truth is, because they could never ever handle it. They would be too devastated.
Is it criminal? Is it something up like that?
I can't say it.
Fireman likes YouTube.
At the very end of the album, there is 1 second of noise.
Hey, you got that long. I'll still have them all. Warmer than the sun. Cooler than the air.
Yeah, no, what happened was we did a cover for a record called Abbey Road.
We ended up doing Abbey Road quickly and putting out something slick to preserve the myth.
So, yeah, and the idea was to walk across the crossing, and I showed up that day with sandals, flip-flops.
He came in here without shoes on.
And so, it was so hot, and I kicked them off and walked across barefooted. So this started some rumour.
The fact that the Beatle Hall may be dead.
That because he was barefooted, he's dead.
How do you manage something like that? Because it was a global rumor. And
yeah. I mean, you know, I just laughed at it and knew it was just because of the fame and the craziness.
Just to break the Beatles, that would break the myth.
Now, the thing is, you know, I just laughed it off, but it was a little bit strange because people did start looking at me like, is it him or a very good double?
Well, that was the idea. That was the other part of it, that there was a guy who looked like you taking your place.
No, well, this is him.
Oh, I try and sort of pretend I'm not him.
So, you know, I feel like I'm going to justify living, you know, which is a bit of a piss off, because I don't really want to have to sit around and justify myself 50 years. But there are lots of things that haven't come out.
Yeah, I mean, there was a period a few years ago and I was dead. Dead, you know, Paul was dead.
I want to ask you about that. Are you...
No, I'm not actually dead, no. Not actually. Just a good replica. Just a good replica.
George is dead. John is dead. Why wouldn't Paul and Ringo come out and say, yes, we did that? And then we would have said, my gosh, these people were really clever. The Beatles were brilliant, but they weren't that clever. Nobody was that clever to come up with a scheme like that in my mind.
We, like, auditioned people, you know, and they came up with this guy, and we knew his work. And we said, all right, he was a phony, you know.
you work it up from there. You know, you gradually find this new identity for yourself. That's what I was trying to do.
Now, all our messages were subliminal, you know.
Never. Didn't care for either of them.
Didn't know about it. The only name she knew was Ringo, because it means apple in Japanese.
Did you know that when you named your company Apple?
No.
It was just one of those happy accidents.
Just one of those happy apples, yes.
Ringo, if you spell it sideways, spells groin.
Star backwards is rats.
There are a lot of... Did you do those things, too? I find that I'm
always... When I go along the road in the car, I'm always doing the signpost backwards.
It was a fake mustache. Maybe you were mistaken. Apple side really looks a fake mustache. Make us so we had to tell you. Apple side, it was a fake mustache. It was a fake mustache. Work with that, this could be a lawsuit. Apple style, it was a fake mustache. Worship the Alistair Crowley. Apple style, it was a fake mustache.
Thanks, Mo.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
Get back.
It seemed a little bit like magic, you know.
I mean, that's what they ask you. You go around the world on these tours, you know, and these sort of press conferences. Well, getting the Beatles back together again, they said, what are you talking about?
Well, let me ask you it this way. Are you getting back together?
No. And yet, with Three as a Bird,
we
somehow did. Yeah.
Superstone for you. I want the world.
The two people closest to the Beatles were their personal assistants, Neil Espinal and Mal Evans. Neil died in 2008, after 40 years as head of Apple. Maybe he never wrote a book, but if he had, Neil said it wouldn't be known to the public before at least 4 years after his death, or the year 2012.
He was the roadie, but he really was the rock. Mal was their mountain.
Mal was a big guy who followed Paul everywhere. If anybody could tell the full story about what happened to Paul, it would be Mal. If Mal had written a book, we might learn why Paul and Mal left England in October 1966 and drove through Europe to Spain for a flight to Nairobi, Kenya. this 8mm film was made by Mal Evans on the trip. In Kenya, apparently the two travel to the Kishi Highlands, perhaps to experience how the natives there live. After a few days, they went to a hospital where Paul apparently needed treatment. Ten days later, Mal took him on safari. And then on November 19th, they returned to London. Mal went straight to Paul's house on Cavendish Avenue and immediately fired Paul's loyal longtime butler, George Kelly, forcing him out of the house. George Kelly never saw Paul again.
Paul and Mal Evans come up with this idea of Sergeant Pepper.
I was Sergeant Pepper fixing a hole with Paul. It was at a point when he was living in his house in London. His housekeeper had left, and I lived with him for 4 months. Mm-hmm. And on top of the house, he had a small music room. You know? And we used to sit at the piano, and that's when we wrote Sergeant Pepper.
On January 5th, 1976, Mal was on the phone with his good friend from the Beatles days. Mal told him he had worked out some problems with Paul and that he would be receiving royalties for all the songs he'd written.
He sounded worried. He said, "Paul and I have just worked out some problems, and he's going to give me credit for some of the things I wrote with him."
Mal Evans had almost finished his book, Living the Beatles Legend.
If anything happens to me, please make sure the book gets published.
4 hours later, Mal Evans was killed by a police patrol led by former Kennedy investigator Charles Higby. The official police justification for killing Mal was that he was standing and waving an air rifle. The manuscript, which lay inside a locked suitcase, disappeared. This suitcase is considered the holy grail of Beatles historians. The suitcase disappeared. Now it looks like somebody found it.
Mal was there. He was in Nairobi for Christ's sake.
Say, have the works this time. Say,
to shove. Now that we've worked the grace to fall, this gets out from here to shove.